So, welcome back to RomaPod. Thank you to everybody who downloaded the first episode. We've had a superb response. And today I'm here, digitally speaking anyway, with Joe Lane from GPS, talking all things financial. So welcome, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Nice to see you. It's the first time I've seen you in months.
It's good to be seeing you come in with a podcast, because you know it's not something a lot of lenders do, and it gives massive value, I believe, to your customers. So yeah.
Have you done a podcast before?
Yeah, done quite a few. So yeah, I think podcasts are great. You can cover a whole range of topics in an hour. So, yeah.
And how have you found things during lockdown? How's business been?
Well, I mean, for our customers, they've been extremely active during lockdown. I mean, a lot of them looking for new opportunity. But due to the high influx of cases, because I didn't really stop, my team have been massively busy and at high capacity. So obviously things have changed. People are working from home. I'm quite lucky that I've got a lot of my family who are my admin team. So, you know, some of them have been working with me, others been working at home, but there's a lot of trust there. But you know, technology like Zoom and things is brilliant to just, you know, have a chat in the day, and just go over finance structures to make sure that we're all on the same page and things. So,
are you working from home at the moment? Is that your home office that I can see in the background?
No. So this is my office in Beechwood Park. So it's a manor house that's been converted into offices. It's a beautiful place to work. Quite fortunate. You can see the tree.
It looks it. You can see the tree. You can see all the trees in the background. It looks like nice. How many people have you got in the office with you at the moment, or just yourself?
At the moment, we've got four of us coming in, because we're all we're all good. don't really mind about the COVID situation too much. But in my admin team, I've got six people, and then I've got an overflow then of two if I ever need them. Helpful. So that's how I sort of deal with my capacity up and down.
So there's 12 people in the business in total?
No, so six people that are constant.
Yeah.
I would make seven, and then I've got two if I need them, so nine in total.
Okay. Yeah. And kind of talk me through kind of what's happened, what you've experienced in the business from, if you like, the middle of February to where we are now.
Okay, so I mean, on the lead up to lockdown, I think people were flapping last minute to try and get deals over the line, refinances over the line, so they could be ready for new opportunity. During lockdown, the customer attitude changed a bit, and I was getting a lot of people more reluctant to sort of move forward with cases and move them on to valuation and things, because they were worried about getting down battles and things. That's translated is I haven't seen too much of a down valuation. I see it more on your 900k type properties where, you know, maybe they've been inflated by, you know, booms of that area. But generally, on your sort of standard buy-to-let stuff, sub 150K valuation, I'm not seeing too much of a down valuation, in fairness. So for the buy, refurb, refinance stuff, the stuff that you guys do quite a lot of for entry, I think that market is still very, very good, very active. And I think there's still a lot of opportunity for people to exit with a down valuation even on the exit. And still maybe come out clean with all their money out.
That's very interesting. Who were the, on the sort of buy-to-let side, I know the buy-to-let lenders have been coming back into the market in droves, albeit that today we've seen that a lot of 90% products have been pulled.
Who are the Absolutely, main, yeah.
Who are the main people that are doing the bridging exits at the moment, Joe, that you're experiencing?
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of the bridging exits, a lot of the customers that we see looking to use bridging as the entry would be looking to just refinance as quick as possible. A lot of them are professionals in doing so, and maybe can get the refurb done within a matter of 1 month or two. And I always see that as, like, you know, a lot of people are worried about exiting, but Kent Reliance, you know, were pre-COVID the strongest exit for that. You know, pre-COVID, you couldn't get higher than 75% on an exit. Within 6 months anyway, unless you were using a bridge to let product.
And are you finding that in terms of, you know, just standard resi, you can see 75%, no problem. In terms of HMOs and lending on HMOs and investment value or bricks and mortar, where are the lenders sitting in terms of the bridging exits on those? Jay?
So bridging exits at the moment, Kent Reliance are doing up to six bedrooms. And then Interbay announced yesterday some new criteria that they're now doing up to 20 bedrooms. Now, for the larger stuff, They're going to cap that at 70% on the exit for your 20-bed HMOs and for things and things. But for the lesser, for, you know, like your 8 HMO rooms and below, then that's still possible to move forward with Intervay at the moment as an exit and get loan to value. So so there are still a lot of exits available for those, but there's also additional underwriting. Lenders are more now focused on underwriting, you know, who the customer is going to be and things like that.
That's interesting. And what sorts of extra underwriting is involved by those lenders right now?
So a lot of lenders are mindful that students are possibly not going to be returning to market. So they're just looking to make sure that if you are looking to refinance a property reliant on students, have they been given notice to return in the new term? Have they been told that now they're online? Have they been given, you know, notice by pre-booked tenants that are arranged to come in that they're actually going to proceed? And aside from that, if they're using professionals, is there enough demand in that space for professionals? So yeah, they're just doing a bit of extra due diligence on that to make sure that, that the exit is strong and that there is going to be cash flow involved.
Okay, interesting. On HMO properties in particular, are you seeing from your clients that there is a there are trends within certain areas or certain parts of the country where customers are getting voids, where tenants are not paying rent at the moment?
Yeah. So we have seen it quite a bit where tenants are not paying rents. And, you know, obviously the general reaction is people to take a mortgage holiday. Now, in terms of mortgage wise, that isn't always the most appropriate thing to be doing right now, because sometimes lenders don't like it. And where you're looking to do a remortgage for someone that's taken a mortgage holiday, it just shows that they're not that liquid as a borrower. So obviously, you know, a lot of lenders now are asking the question, like Intervay, for example, if you have taken a mortgage holiday, it's not a categorical no. They're just going to ask more questions. Why did you take the mortgage holiday? Was there enough cash flow before the holiday was taken? Were you liquid? Because I think a lot of people just worried about how long this was going to be going on for and whether it was the right thing to do or not. So, you know, lenders now on the exit side of things are sort of asking more questions aside from just saying no. You're taking a holiday, we're not going to lend. So it's a positive approach and moving with the times.
That's very interesting. And from the client side then, what kind of questions are you getting asked by your clients that you're working with right now? Are people nervous? Are they excited? Are they scared? Are they, you know, because people have a range of emotions and they probably go through the different emotions every single day, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. So I mean, there's a whole range of questions that I've been seeing, like when can I capital raise? And the answer is yes. Now, there are a lot of lenders out there that are not capital raising at the moment, and some are reducing loan to values and doing extra underwriting on capital raising, like what are you spending the money on, what are you going to do with that? We need to, you know, sort of assess the risk on the forward purchase. And now that can be quite invasive, especially when you're looking to capital raise just to maybe, you know, have access to funds for a new opportunity. Not everyone knows what their forward purchase is going to be up front, which has been a bit of an issue when we're looking to capital raise. Aside from that, one of the most, you know, topics of the season has been, can I use a bank's back loan to buy property? And effectively, the answer is yes. Yes, you can. Fill your boots. But the exit isn't all that strong. Now, I've did a massive post on this on my Facebook to just sort of warn people that, yes, you can buy properties using a bank's back loan. But, you know, if a lender does underwriting on the source of deposit used, even if you're using bridging, and they would, by the way, if you were looking to refinance with it, then they would see that as an unacceptable source of deposit and decline the case. Now, after 6 months, maybe not, but you know, it's certainly something that we couldn't be advising people do because there isn't a clear exit. And of course, with every purchase and deal, the most important thing is the exit, and that's what we need to be lining up with a surety.
You know, it's very interesting. I was speaking to somebody. A customer that we're very close with yesterday afternoon, he was saying that on the CBILS loan, I think they've got 400,000, and they've also, in another one of their businesses, applied for a bounce back loan as well. So they often get investors to help them with some of the projects that they're involved with. But because they got a £400,000 CBILS loan, actually, the CBILS loan is cheaper than having the investor put money in at, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
So 2.5% with a CBILS loan, £400,000, looking to pay for the first year, spread over 6 years. They're actually better off now because of COVID than they were pre-COVID. And they've got a hunter's license to go and really seek out great opportunities. So they're actually in a better position now because of COVID than they would have been. And I think that was an eye opener for me from our point of view as a lender, as a kind of secondary lender, if you like, because we lend other, obviously, you know, we borrow to lend out. We're not eligible for any of it. So our customers are in better positions than we are.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, with that, there may be some changes. But I think the main sort of idea behind it is that, you know, I think lenders on the exit side of things especially want to understand that a customer had liquid funds prior to the bounce back loan coming in.
Yeah.
And obviously you're not, you know, sort of in desperation prior to the bounce back loan coming in and just, you know, use them funds to purchase property. But I've been advised that the bounce back loan can be used for refurb and they're quite happy with that. Happy to exit them type of deals as well. But right now I haven't had that clarity on the exit, and I've literally gone to every lender and gone to finance director level. So there's that as well. But you know, people are, you know, asking about HMOs, can I buy them on a mortgage? You can, and what their exit options are. So it's just been sort of feeding back on that. And to be honest with you, I think exits, like I said earlier, pre-6 months are pretty much similar to what they were anyway. So it's pretty good time at the moment.
So in terms of obviously you're lucky that you're working in a beautiful office. I can see it in a lovely environment with colleagues. A lot of lenders, for example, ourselves, we've got everybody working from home.
Okay.
Do you find with other lenders that most of their staff, whether it's sales or underwriting, are also working from home? And has that presented challenges in terms of how you're working with those lenders, response times, SLAs, communicating with them, answering landlines, all those kind of normal, you know, business as usual things you don't even think about and take for granted? How have you found that during the lockdown period? Yeah.
Okay, so there's been a mixture, to be honest with you. And I think a lot of lenders are geared up more than others. The common thing is that, yes, like you said, delayed service levels. And sometimes, in the odd case, we've been wrongly advised by the help desk with some lenders without naming names, but it's translated that, you know, we've pushed certain cases forward with the wrong advice from the lender, and it's sort of, you know, wasted a lot of time. Which, you know what I mean? I think with people working at home without management around them, I think it's obvious it's going to happen. I think we're only human and we are going to make errors. So, you know, that should have been expected, but nevertheless, you know, was annoying. That's been pretty good. I've been quite surprised. I think it's been just general things like poor signal on the phone when you're speaking to case handlers and things like that. But stuff like that you can get around. I personally think every lender that I've dealt with, which is the majority when it comes to investment stuff, I've dealt with this really, really well. And I think it's actually, it's something to think about going forward of how we run our businesses.
Interesting. So I've got to ask this question, and I hope that I'm not leading with my chin and kind of waiting for it to get hit. But I've got to ask this question. Have you found Roman the same, as good as other people? Or
I have, absolutely, yeah. I mean, Dan Hill, who I deal with, was never off the phone. We were always on the phone through lockdown. And, of course, she was still lending throughout that period as well. So I find Roma really, really good. And there's always a straightforward common sense approach for Roma. It's not, you know, or maybe we'll do that. You're either doing the deal or you're not, and it's up front, which is great. It doesn't waste any time. I think you're one of my only avenues for, you know, auction purchases, with the exception of a few lenders. But, you know, the fact that you've got a full indemnity policy that you can move legals forward in, you know, rocket speed. And I find it really, really, really useful.
So you know that we can now give somebody a pre-agreed facility prior to going to the auction as well, because we can do an ABM for them. So we can do an ABM for them in advance of the auction, so they know how much we'll allow them to bid up to without needing a valuation. And if they do need more than that and they're successful at the auction, we can get a valuation and we can go to value once they've bought the property. So, you know, we've got other options there as well we can help the customers with now.
That's amazing. And obviously, 28 days after that date is enough time to get a val done. And you'd think, you know, prior, the idea with that is to obviously get all the underwriting done prior. Amazing. Yeah, I think that is something that other lenders are yet to introduce into their businesses. So definitely moving with the times. And I think that's a brilliant product that you've released.
Thank you. What do you think is the best thing that a lender's done for a period during the lockdown period? Don't be mentioning our Lego competition for children. vouchers.
I missed that one. Damn. Well, I think I've been dealing, because I do a bit of development as well. So, Helmsley in the past, they've introduced some amazing terms on a development. It was a new development as well. So I think the best thing that they've done is look at things with a common sense approach, and not look at things with, oh, well, what if we get some down valuations and things like that. They've stacked it based on what was sort of pre-COVID, which has been helpful. And a lot of not backpedaled on offers that were existing in the pipeline. So they've sort of said that they will, you know, honour existing cases that had a valuation agreed prior to lockdown.
Okay. And so what are your predictions for the housing market over the next 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and then perhaps 18 months as well? Where do you think we'll be?
Well, I'm going to split that question in two. We're going to kick off on the resi side first. But I think the majority of this market and the data associated has been affected by home buyers who have been affected by, you know, furloughed pay and general redundancy as well. So I think this is happening now, and I think things can only really improve because, you know, we're coming out of this now. I think people are returning to work, and that is going to stop affecting the affordability. But I think in the commercial sector, a lot of lenders are worried about commercial, and they're sort of expecting the impacts to happen in October. You know, a lot of businesses are sort of clutching at straws to try and get through this at the moment. But unfortunately, and it's a sad thing to say, not many of them will make it. And I think it will take until October for things to fizzle out and for commercial landlords to accept the true values of their properties. But I think that's going to translate into maybe one, a PD boom in England, where a lot of people are going to be looking to purchase cheap commercial property to get a planning gain on that and then repurpose into residential. I think generally nationwide, it will give people the opportunity to just generally, you know, refurbish commercial property into residential.
I think with that, you are 100% right. And lots of businesses who have been, you know, where the staff have been working from home, as we have been over the past 3 months, lots of businesses have got office space in prime city centre and town centre locations that they're probably questioning whether they still need that space or that space. You know, you can put that to very, very good use by using that, converting it into residential, and that will help generate the town centres, because in many cases retail was anyway was struggling before COVID. So we've kind of gone down this path where actually it's just, I think, accelerated what's going to happen anyway, and working from home, working in smaller offices, working more with more agility, as people have been doing, I think that it's just accelerated what was the inevitable anyway. And with it, we'll see the regeneration of town centres, more people living in town centres, less people needing cars in town centres, more leisure opportunities, coffee shops, restaurants, one we can open up, and more green spaces. I think long term, there's a lot of pain at the moment. I think long term, this could end up being a good society for town centres, for city centres, and for people's health and well-being once we've passed what's obviously a very difficult period for many people at the moment.
Yeah, I completely agree, because there's a lot of wasted space in commercial, especially in the town centres, like you say. It's literally being wasted. I haven't got to walk through my own city centre in Newport. You look up at the uppers you can tell no one's living in there, and there's nothing in there. It's just a shell. And it's a waste of space. It is. And we're in a housing crisis, so it really does not make sense.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. Look, Joe, I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything that you want to ask me or?
No, not really. It's just, I'll tell you what. is there any talks of loan to values rising?
We have always talked about loan to values. The way that we underwrite a deal, as you know, we always look at the customer first. And so if we see a customer whereby we know that by the deal they're getting is a fantastic deal, the deal that the property they're buying at a discounted price, it's common sense what they're doing and how they're doing it, we will always look to think outside the box in terms of LTVs. The challenge that you've got as a lender is what happens with the small minority of customers that don't improve the value of a property, that face delays in a project, where the value doesn't rise as you expect it to rise in a property, and the property market itself is declining.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I completely agree.
And so that's the challenge that we're facing, which is why we have, you know, pulled back our LTVs during the COVID period. We have started to increase LTVs again as and when the property market stabilizes, or, you know, property market even stabilizes or starts to rise, or customers get, you know, clearly very great opportunities and, you know, great prices, great buy prices. We'll always look to back good people doing good projects where the returns are sensible for themselves and for us as well. You know, we're in business to lend. If we don't lend, we don't make anything at all.
Absolutely.
We want to back good people doing sensible and incredible projects throughout Scotland and Wales.
Excellent. So you think things may start to change in maybe a month's time, or obviously when there's more data available to have more confidence in the values you're lending upon, maybe? Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think that right now, the government is subsidising something like 8 million people's wages. And we need to see how the ending, or the, not even ending, the kind of unravelling of the furlough scheme between July and October, we need to see how that translates into either economic stability or recession. How we don't quite know what that's going to look like yet. And I think that the values will fall out of whatever comes out of the furlough unravelling. And we probably won't see the impact, a bit like what you were saying. We're not going to see the impact of that. I wouldn't have thought until the back end of 2020, perhaps even 2021. So being totally open, I can't see that loans to values are going to go up until the market stabilises and we see the impact of the unravelling of the furlough scheme. There will be winners from what's going on, technology companies, food retailers, you know, medical businesses, healthcare businesses. There are winners from what's going on, but I think that there's a lot more losers than there are winners. But we just don't know yet exactly who the losers are, what parts of the country are going to be worse affected or better affected. You know, for example, it might be that around the Midlands, which is where lots of the manufacturing is, you know, with Rolls-Royce and Bentley and Airbus and the different redundancies that have already been announced, that there's more of that thing, that type of thing, unfortunately, which means that there'll be more of a recession in certain parts of the country. So for example, we're analysing our port by postcode at the moment to understand where the sort of our risk heat map.
Okay.
Because it may be that what we do is if some parts of the country are less affected than other parts of the country, we may have different products for different parts of the country.
That's interesting.
Okay, yeah. We just don't know yet. You know, the beauty of being a small business is that you can be a lot more agile in terms of how you deal with things. So we're watching things very closely. But as I said, we will always back good people doing good projects where there's an opportunity for themselves to make money for them and their family. And if we can back them on their journey, we'll always try and do that.
That's brilliant. Well, it's good to hear. And yeah, I think, like you said, it's sensible as well, isn't it? Not to over leverage on the LTV, because effectively it's them that's going to have to exit and redeem in any case. So no, I completely see. Your point's there.
Yeah, I suppose one other point as well is that I wonder how long it'll be before people want to get on an aeroplane and go abroad, or want to get a ferry or sit in a cinema or a theatre, whatever the kind of normal things we used to do. And it might be that staycations become very popular for the next 2 years because everybody can travel in the UK with by travelling in the UK and don't want to quarantine for 14 days when they get back. In which case, you know, we've got products that are ready to go to support holiday lets in the UK. We're just waiting for the opportunity to launch them. So there's lots of kind of interesting and exciting things that we're doing behind the scenes to see how we can support pockets of growth within the UK economy and property generally. And when the time is right, we'll be launching those. So we'll be one of the first to know what those products are, because we'd like your continued support.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, and I'll share about it as much as I can. I'm sure it'll be a great product.
Thank you. Thanks very much indeed. Thanks, dear. Lovely to talk to you. Have a nice day.
You too. Thanks. Cheers, Scott.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye.